Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, covering your favorite teams across your favorite sports, letting you know just what you need to know to stay abreast of the situation, what you can do to be the best fan possible. If you don't have the time to go through and study every little thing about your favorite team, don't worry about it. Just subscribe to the Locked On Podcast show of your favorite team, whether that be MLB, NFL, college football, NBA, NHL, whatever the case may be. Subscribe to your favorite teams and stay up to date with us. We can keep you suited up around, so every time you go around the water cooler, you're the guy who's got all the answers. You can fan the best way possible with the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, guys. We're finally here. We're finally inside the top 10. And we're at the point now where you guys are going to know all of these prospects. These are the guys you've all been waiting to hear the breakdowns on. If I did this correctly, by next Friday, we should be completed. We should be finished with our top 30, ready to move on to other things to get us through the start of the baseball season, which at this point we still don't know. They're talking about doing a 100-game schedule, probably looking, just judging what I've been able to read on Twitter, 1st of July, maybe, looking to try to squeeze in 100 games, which at this point I'd be fine with. I mean, I just need something to go on. I need some baseball. I know you guys are jonesing for it just as bad as I am. Luckily, doing these prospect breakdowns has given me something to do, and to fill out this top 30 with the breakdowns has given me something to focus on day in and day out. But I will be very, very happy when we have some more baseball to talk about. But if that's enough of me whining, you guys don't want to hear it. You guys are in the same boat I am. So without further ado, let's crack the top 10, starting with number 10, Waskar Ynoa. If you guys don't remember, Waskar was acquired from the Twins in the Javier Vasquez trade with Minnesota. You should be very excited about him. There's a lot of potential there. It's a big, big arm. In my opinion, it's the best arm in the Braves system. It is the liveliest arm as well. He's touched 100 in Atlanta, actually, so you've seen on the big league radar guns, you've seen him hit 100 and 101 in a couple of his relief outings last year. And this guy's stuff is absolutely off the charts. His fastball's got some good movement on it as well. It's not just a straight heater. There's a lot that he does that's really, really impressive. And one of those things that I find really crazy for a guy like Waskar, one of the reasons why the Braves were able to get him so easily is that he was exceedingly raw. But one of the weird things is he was a guy that, while raw, had a six-pitch repertoire when he was with Minnesota. And you can ask Ben Chase on Twitter at Big Gentle Ben, works for Prospects Live now, great guy, really, really good with prospects, especially former Minnesota prospects who used to write about all the time. But Waskar was known for his splitter in Minnesota, which was one of the best splitters, not just in their system, but one of the best splitters in the minor leagues. Well, he had six pitches that he was throwing up there, and when you got a guy who has a lot to work on and a lot to learn, throwing a ton of pitches actually ends up kind of hurting him a little bit because he doesn't narrow down and get really good with any of them. He's got too much that he's spreading around. It can kind of mess with the mental aspect of a pitcher when he's got six pitches he's trying to work in. It can kind of mess with how good he gets at any one pitch. So when Atlanta got him, they actually had to cut down his repertoire, and they've cut it down to about three pitches right now. Now, the splitter was one of the ones that was cut. I don't know if they cut it until they could work on some other things. We haven't seen it since he's been here, and he's been here 3 years now. So I think we're kind of getting a good feel for what his pitch repertoire is going to be. But it's certainly something he might go back to in the future. But it looks like he's kind of made his selections and the Braves kind of helped him out. That would be fastball, slider, changeup. Those are his main go-tos. As I mentioned, known for the split in Minnesota. Hasn't thrown it at all in Atlanta. So we'll see if that changes in the coming years. But not many Braves pitchers do throw splitters anymore. That seems to be something that the Braves kind of went away from when they had Roger McDowell. Everybody was throwing sinkers. Around Smoltz's time, the splitter was a big pitch that was actually kind of the main pitch for John Smoltz. But you don't see as many splitter guys anymore. The ones you see are very rare. Guys like Shohei Ohtani, who have like 92 mile an hour split fingers. There's still a couple of guys that throw them around the league, but not nearly as many as there were 5-10 years ago. It seems to be a pitch that's kind of dying away a little bit. I don't know if it's because it might hurt somebody's elbows a little bit more, or it might put some extra strain on the shoulder. But for whatever reason, the splitter's kind of fallen out of style a little bit. And he's a guy that's kind of getting back to Waskar. He's been lost in the shuffle of the young arms a little bit. You know, there's a lot of guys competing for headlines in the Braves system, and a lot of guys that the Braves drafted highly. Now, Waskar being an international sign of a different organization kind of helps him, or kind of hurts him a little bit as he falls to the wayside. But his stuff is as good as anybody's. I think he has the best pure stuff in the system. I know he's got the best pure arm. Max has the best curveball. I don't think any of Waskar's pitches, aside from his fastball, are the quote-unquote best in the system. I think his fastball is the best. But his stuff overall, the movement, the speed that he's able to generate, very, very good. He's still growing. When the Braves got him, he was listed at 6'1", about 170-ish, 160, 170. Now he's listed about 6'3", 195. Looks good. Looks well put together. And the thing that I like the most about him is obviously his strikeout ability. I've said this to you guys a lot. I'm a big fan of strikeout pitchers because striking a hitter out is the only way where the hitter is completely in control of the outcome. When you give up base hits, you rely on soft contact. Yes, it's soft contact, but now you've kind of spread out who's in control. Your pitcher's not as in control anymore. He's reliant on somebody else doing their job. When you're striking guys out, you are totally in command of what's going on. And a guy like Waskar has the type of K potential that really makes you salivate. This is a guy that I really do think can be sitting up there to 11 to 12 Ks per nine. This is a guy that I think has every bit the same ability to strike out guys on the same level as like a Gerrit Cole. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Gerrit Cole, but I'm saying he's got that type of strikeout rate. Really, the biggest thing to do that, though, is going to be he's going to have to get command a little bit better. But what I like about him and what I like about his fastball so much and why I think so highly of his fastball is he knows how to change speeds on it. And it's not as simple as saying, all right, I threw this one 100%, I'll throw this one 70%. It's not the same as saying, well, he throws a couple of them 98, now he'll throw a couple of them 96. It's the ability pitch in and pitch out to change the amount of friction, the amount of pressure that he's putting on the seams of the baseball so he can slow it down. He might throw a couple of them 98, he'll come back and throw a 92, a 94. He knows how to vary his speeds to keep hitters off balance, and that's a very important thing. For a lot of guys on fastballs, they really just operate one speed, whether they're throwing at 70% or 80%. Most of the time, maybe sometimes they'll rear back if they need to, but usually in the course of the game, their fastball will stay the same velocity, 93, 94, whatever, stay within a mile per hour difference. Not with Waskar. You can see him kind of go anywhere between 4 to 5 miles an hour of difference, depending on whatever inning you're looking at him. And that's an important thing. That's a very savvy trick. I don't know if he does it. I don't know if it's something that he consciously thinks about or it's just something that he kind of does. But either way, that's a good instinct to have, and that serves him very well. It also makes your changeup much better, especially if you don't have a super great changeup. If you're able to adjust speeds on your fastball, it makes the effectiveness of your changeup actually go up a little bit more. So, big fan of what he does there. He kind of needs to dedicate himself to the slider. He's kind of stuck in the mode between a slider and a slurve, and it's kind of halted the ability of it to be a big swing and miss pitch. I think once he dedicates himself to that slider, it will be a swing and miss pitch. But the biggest thing of all for him is going to be the command and control. He's got to trim his walk totals. Consistently, he's been in the mid to high fours for his walks per nine. He's got to get that down. If he can get that down under four, his strikeouts will jump up as the walks go down. His command as well. His fastball command is pretty good, but it's really the off speed. As I mentioned, if he can ditch that slurve, which is more of a slow breaker, more of a sweeping type pitch, and get it to be a hard breaker, that's going to be a swing and miss pitch as well. We've seen him in the bullpen. There is a chance that he could be eventually moved into the bullpen because that fastball is going to look really, really good coming out of the back end. There's a lot of people that think he's got a chance to be a high leverage reliever down the line, and I think he certainly could, but I don't think there's any reason to rush him in there. If you've got a guy who's got this type of strikeout potential and he can start, that's just a different type of value, and I'm a big fan of letting these guys start for as long as possible. Certain guys like Waskar Noah, who have something that a lot of other guys in the system don't have, which is the ability to strike out a ton of people. I want to see him start for as long as possible. He does have to get the command and control underway. I mean, that's something that he's going to take a big step forward with. The command has gotten better over time. He's gotten better about repeating his mechanics. Now it's more about putting the pitch where he wants to and trimming that walk rate. Once he trims that walk rate, then you're looking at a really sky high potential. You're looking at somebody that I really don't want to bog down with the ceiling, because if he gets that all underway, you're talking about a totally different pitcher than what you're seeing right now. Now, that's a big if. It's very hard for guys to completely change the way they are as far as walking guys. If you're a 4 walks per 9 guy, it's really hard to get to be a 2 walks per 9 guy. It's a very big jump. The way the Braves have been going right now, there's absolutely no reason to rush him. You've seen him in the big leagues a little bit already, but there's not really a need for the Braves to rush him. I kind of thought they brought him to the bigs too quickly, and it kind of showed. He had one outing where he was stupendous, another one where he got ripped around with 3 homers, I think. If you look at his ERA, it's like an 18 ERA. Got bit by the home run bug. That's not something that usually bothers him in the minor leagues, which is something that's good, especially when you consider the juice ball and what the effect that's going to have on major league hitters going forward. I think it's good that he's able to keep balls in the ballpark. But number one overall for him to reach the lofty ceilings that I have for him, he's got to cut down the walks. And I think that's really probably about it. But I would say he needs to solidify that slider, make it a little bit harder instead of kind of the in between a slider and a curve where it's just kind of sweepy. If he gets away from that, he gets a solid slider, that's going to really jump up his strikeout totals. He's going to have an effective out pitch. As far as what you can look at for a comparison, I've got 2 for him just because there are 2 distinct paths he could take. If he ends up in the bullpen, this is a guy that I look at as like a Raisel Iglesias type. He'll be a fastball slider guy as a closer, guy that could run it up 100, assuming he solidifies the slider, which is a pretty good bet with what the Braves tend to do. That's what you're looking at, one of these high-impact guys that sometimes the ball can get away from him a little bit, but in general is on point and one of the higher strikeout type of closers. If he stays a starter, which is what I think should and will happen, I think you're looking at a guy like Danny Salazar from the Indians, another guy who's consistently a 10-plus strikeout per 9 guy, struggles with walks a little bit. He's floated anywhere between 3.5 to 4 over the course of his career. But Danny Salazar, a very good pitcher as well. I think Oscar Ynoa kind of mirrors him a fair bit. Same pitch types, a little bit of the same struggles every now and then. I do think that Oscar's probably going to struggle with periods of being unable to command pitches where he wants to. It's more about just getting as consistent as possible. I think he's going to do it. This is one of my favorite players in the entire system. But for now, keep your eye on Oscar Ynoa. This is a guy who's got all the tools in the world. It's just about getting the pitcher aspect to reach the sky-high arm talent that he has. I think he'll do it. Hopefully you guys too. When we come back, we're going to take a look at my number 9. This is a guy you've all seen a fair bit of. When we come back, you'll find out who it is. Stick right there. We'll be back after the break right here on Locked On Braves. Do you hate stepping on the scale? I know I do. Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings has produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for their durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Just step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't even have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you have to keep your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal, guys. You can get 25% off of Withings Body Plus right now at Withings.com for a very limited time. Go to Withings.com, that's Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. That's Withings, Withings.com/MLB to get 25% off the Body Plus body composition scale. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beer while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're having lunch, maybe even right when you get up in the morning. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant out there, at least everyone that I can think of, right to my front door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They can make my life easier with grocery delivery, whatever I can think of delivery. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it, Postmates will deliver it. No more trips to the store. No more late-night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners here on Locked On Braves $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. That is the perfect amount of time. Everybody's stuck in quarantine. You know what? Don't worry about getting all your food. Don't worry about going out and shopping. Just Postmate it. Start your free deliveries. Just download the app. Use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON. You'll get $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days just for downloading the Postmates app for iOS or Android. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Hey, welcome back from break. Thanks for sticking around through the show. Happy Thursday, everybody, here on Locked On Braves. So I want to keep this going pretty quickly. I went a little bit long in that first segment, so I'm going to try to clip this last one down a little bit. Number nine, this is a guy you've obviously all heard of a lot. We've seen a lot of him. Opinions can be kind of mixed on him, but it is Bryce Wilson, fourth round pick in 2016. You guys might remember that being the draft with Ian Anderson up top, Joey Wentz as well, Kyle Muller as well. Bryce was the fourth round pick out of that lot, and this is a dude that you look at him and you can pretty much tell what to expect from him. He's not huge. He's about as wide as he is tall. He's very solidly built. He's about 6'1", 6'2", about 225, 230 pounds, built like a brick house. He is very, very solidly built, and he's raised his profile more since he's been drafted more than anybody aside from Tucker Davidson. This is a guy that when the Braves drafted him, it was pretty much assumed he was going to be a reliever. When you looked at the way you looked at his pitches, you looked at how he threw his pitches, this is a guy that was looked at as being a pure reliever prospect. But he's got an incredible work ethic. That's one of the first things that people mention about him is how hard he works and how dedicated he is. Because of that, he's been able to really blow past his original projection and fully conform himself to being a starter. This is a guy that was a big time two sport athlete in high school. He was a college prospect as a linebacker, was going to go play at North Carolina, ends up getting drafted by the Braves, and he carries that mentality over to the mound. You guys have probably heard this. Anytime anybody talks about Bryce Wilson, the number one thing that people talk about is his demeanor and his approach to pitching. He is a bulldog on the mound. He is not afraid to go after anybody. Any hitter he faces, he's going to challenge. He's never afraid to challenge in the zone. He's almost too often around the zone, because that one of the big things about him, why people were so confident calling him a reliever, is because he throws a lot of strikes. He's always around the zone. I almost think that can hurt him. Because he's too often around the zone, it tends to hurt his chase rate a little bit, because hitters know he's usually going to be around the zone, or he's not purposefully going to be going outside of the zone. So if you see one that's tailing a little bit farther away towards that kind of questionable place on the plate, you can lay off it, because chances are he didn't mean to put it there. So sometimes some of these hitters, it's a weird line that you have to learn between throwing consistent strikes, but also being able to be just off the plate enough to get hitters to chase away. Because that's what you got to do with the big leagues. If you're throwing over the plate every single time, you're going to get mashed. And that's kind of been the problem with Bryce right now. As we've seen, there's an inning or two where he'll look really good, and then he'll get mashed. And I mean hit hard. You saw it in the spring training, that outing against the Pirates. And that's the team that he debuted against, where he looked really, really good in his debut. But he comes back, and too many times he can get barreled around pretty easily, because he's got a good high-velocity fastball. He can top 95, 96-ish. That's probably one of the things he's done better than anything else in his repertoire. When he came into the system, he was topping at 92. He was sitting about 90, 91. Since then, he's raised his fastball velocity about 5, 6 mile an hour for his top speed, and usually where he'll sit now at about 93. Before he can reach back and kind of grab 96, 97 a couple times if he has to. The problem is, despite that good velocity, he gets barreled up a lot. It's really similar to Lucas Sims, even kind of similar to Mike Foltynewicz, where these guys have big-time fastballs, but somehow people just seem to hit them really well. A lot of that has to do with the fact that they're very, very straight. They don't move very much at all. They're not high spin rate fastballs. They tend to stay on plane. There's no riding action or running action on them. They're wherever he puts them is where they are, and it tends to allow a lot of backspin to the hitter, a lot of backspin transfer to the hitter. The other problem with Bryce right now is his off speed is severely lagging behind the fastball in terms of effectiveness and in terms of confidence. So this is the thing with Bryce. When Bryce gets into a bad count, he's going to be throwing fastballs because that's what he feels comfortable with. He's not confident enough in his slider or his changeup to throw them in fastball counts, so he gets kind of predictable out there. And as I've told you guys many, many times, I think predictability is the death knell of any and all pitcher evaluation. Once you're predictable, these hitters are too good. They're going to mash you. And that's been what we've seen out of Bryce for a while. His slider's been more of a slurve in past seasons, one of those mixes between curveballs and sliders. Just kind of depends on the day that you've seen him. But this season, he's been planning on debuting something else. We saw in spring training, he debuted his spike slider. Now, didn't fare great in spring training with it. Obviously, it's a new pitch. So that's to be expected. I do like that he was willing to work on that in the midst of a five-person battle for a spot. He was willing to work on what the Braves told him to work on. He didn't get too insanely caught up in, I have to show out and do better than everybody else, and kind of went away from the game plan. He stuck with what he was supposed to work with. Now, it didn't work out for him, obviously. He did not have a good spring and kind of got passed up by really the other three in front of him. Got passed up by Tukey, got passed up by Newt, got passed up by Wright, and got passed up by Felix. But it speaks a lot to his coachability that he's willing to go through and do that in what is a big spring training for him. He's willing to work on the stuff that he's supposed to work on rather than get bogged down with results. But that's something that he's got to, that slider's going to have to be a big deal for him. His change has shown glimpses of being a plus pitch, but it's just not consistent enough. There's too many times where it doesn't fade at all, where it's just flat, and essentially it's just an 85-mile-an-hour fastball. A good changeup is going to have some fade and some drop on it. That's the biggest difference. That's what gives the straight change its oomph. That's what gives it its swing and miss ability, is when you can get fade on it and it can drop at the tail end. That's what gets a lot of rollovers, and that's what helps against opposite-handed hitters. So that's something he's got to work on as well. The technical aspects of his game, though, are really, really solid. His mechanics are really nice. His arm action is good. I mean, technically speaking, from a technician standpoint, he does all the things you're supposed to do. He's got good and easy mechanics. He's got a good delivery. He's not too violent or torque-heavy on his shoulder. It looks good, and it's very, very repeatable. It's just the actual stuff portion of it. So he's got to get better with, he's got to develop his off speed, and he's got to get better with his off speed, or he's got to find a way to miss more bats. I don't know if that's going away from a four seam and changing it to a two seam or a cutter or even a sinker, something with some movement, but he can't keep going the way he's going right now. As he's going right now, he did good to jump up and fly through the system as fast as he did. As a matter of fact, he was flying up faster than anybody else from his draft class. But now he's kind of stalled out now that he's reached the apex, where he's kind of stuck right now in this mode where not quite playing well enough to be on the big leagues, but playing well at AAA. You don't want him to get stuck in that quad A player mold. That's a very hard thing to break out of, and that's something that you see happen with a lot of prospects. And it just tends to be because they can't make the adjustments necessary to succeed at the big leagues. And I'm not saying this to be mean to Bryce. This is a guy that there's a lot of expectations on him now. There weren't when he was drafted, but there are now. He's in a precarious spot because there are so many pitchers kind of lumped around him that it would not take much to have him fall into kind of the tier two category. Now, if Bryce falls into the tier two category, this will necessitate a move to the bullpen. This is what a lot of people kind of expected when the Braves drafted him. They kind of went away from that for a bit, but it's starting to look like he may end up in the bullpen again. Not that there's anything wrong with that, by the way. You need bullpen pitchers, too. There's a long list of great bullpen guys who were starters when they came up. Andrew Miller was a starter when he came up, was a bad starter, turned into one of the most effective bullpen pieces in baseball. Josh Hader, same thing, was a starter coming up through the system, got moved to the bullpen where he's been excellent on the field anyway. But that's kind of what you're looking at right now for Bryce in the bullpen. It's not nearly as big a problem. His off-speed's not as big of a problem as it is as a starter. Now, you still never want to be a one-pitch pitcher, especially if that one pitch is a straight fastball. That's not anything that you want to rely on. But it does take some of the pressure off and allow you to find out one off-speed pitch that works really well, as opposed to a starter where you really need at least three. If he does have to move to the bullpen, I think he's going to be in an extremely reliable bullpen piece because he throws a ton of strikes. He knows how to get after hitters. And that's something out of the bullpen that you can always rely on him to throw strikes. So that's something that I know the Braves like. As far as comparison's sake, at the end of the show here for today, if he remains a starter, this is a guy that screams John Lackey to me. He's not as big as Lackey, but he's kind of the same focus, where he's going to throw a lot of innings. He's a guy that has good stuff. It's not elite, but he's got good stuff. He can strike out some guys. But more than anything, he's going to eat a ton of innings, and he's going to throw strikes. And that's something that is not to be understated. There's a lot of jobs in this league for guys that can throw strikes and can be relied upon. If he ends up in the bullpen, I think his game is going to be kind of reminiscent of Chris Martin. Now, he's not Chris Martin in terms of size or even in terms of like his stuff. Chris Martin can throw 97, 98, and he's like 6'7". Bryce is not like that, but I'm talking about their approach, where Martin's approach is he does not walk anybody. He goes right after people. He throws everything in the strike zone. If hitters hit it, they hit it, and he'll rely on it that way. He'll trust his stuff to where if the hitters do hit it, it's weak contact. That's what I see Bryce being if he's in the bullpen. Not one of these guys that's going to come out there and throw up like a 15 strikeout per nine. That's not happening with Bryce. He just doesn't have the swing and miss stuff to do that. But he's a guy that's going to consistently come out there and give you strikes, and he's not going to put himself in bad positions. And that's very important for guys that are in the bullpen. A lot of guys get caught up, myself included, in the high strikeout totals, but it does come down to you have to be able to keep yourself in good situations out there on the mound, especially if you're cleaning up somebody else's mess. And that's something with Bryce Wilson that I think the Braves will see a lot of. I think there's a lot of love for Bryce in the scouting community and the Braves system. Unfortunately, when you got guys that are these packed together, any and all failures can result in a big loss and a big swing in terms of prospect rankings and where you're at in the pecking order. So for Bryce, just want to see him work on that off speed, get that slider under wraps so he can find some of the missed bats and find a way to add some sort of movement on his fastball, even if he has to take a little bit off of it. That being said, that's enough for today. Thank you guys so much for joining the show. We'll be back tomorrow to get through our numbers 8 and number 7. We should end up finished with our top 30 next Friday. Thank you guys so much for joining along with me. We'll be back tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.